Yes, welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Glenn Murray with you today as your moderator, and we have us John Stout as operator and producer for today's program. Before I go to the next caller, it just occurred to me that how circumstances can change a people's way of life, a people's language, introduce new words into common usage, words which have been in existence before but were never really taken up and was being used commonly. I make mention, therefore, of the term protocol. There was a time when protocol was only assigned to and associated with official functions where you have dignitaries and have table of precedence. You have to know who's more important and who sits where, et cetera, and guiding that kind of behavior in these official circles. But protocol as life with the COVID has shown also has a simple meaning. It's a directive, it's a code of behavior, it's a set of rules settled by officialdom particularly, which is supposed to guide people's behavior and activities. So now everybody talks about protocol today, and it's no longer the exclusive preserve of the rich and fair and the big shots. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Mr. Nasser.
Yeah, Mohammed Nasser, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, and the family all good, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure. Same about you, we hope.
Yeah, brother. Hey, Andrew, could you give me the difference between lockdown and curfew?
Lockdown or curfew? I think a curfew is when there is something that limited your time, behavior, etc. Activity is limited to a particular time slot, 9 till 5, 10 till 6, whatever. Otherwise, that's a curfew time.
Right. And what's a lockdown?
Right, but a curfew can be part of a lockdown.
Okay, so a curfew and lockdown basically be the same thing.
I'm not a linguist to that extent, but they are related. They can probably be used interchangeably. But I think legally, they probably have different meanings also.
All right, I know they got different meanings, but I believe that you can think that they're the same. Let me tell you why. This country from 7 at night until 6 on mornings is on pause or curfew or lockdown. Everyone on the streets between those times, without a valid reason or a pass, the police could and rightly should arrest you or charge you. But between 7 o'clock on mornings, or a minute past six on morning, until a minute before 7 at night, if people are on the streets, what rights would the police have to stop them unless they suspect that they do something wrong or involved in something that they should not be involved in? In other words, if you have supermarkets open, some banks open from time to time. You go to the doctor if you want to go to the doctor. Are we explaining to people correctly that this country is on curfew from 7 until 6 and not 24 hours? Because there are people who definitely believe that this country locked down for 24 hours. What is your opinion on that, Mr. Murray?
I can see how some people may get confused, but if the curfew, like I said to you, is a restricted specific period of time where no activity is allowed. Right. Mm-hmm. The time up between 6 in the morning and 5 to a minute to 7 that night. Because don't forget, we are under emergency legislation.
Right.
We are special circumstances. And you are allowed to be out, but only if you have to.
Right.
If you can give a reasonable account of your activities and why you should be in or out. And they've spelled out some legitimate areas where you can be out to do the pharmacy, go to the doctor, et cetera, et cetera. So those are legitimate. Otherwise than that, you have to have a very good reason by law to be able to justify your behavior to the authority.
So therefore,
I'm not even a standpipe lawyer, so I'll have to defer to somebody with a better understanding I do.
You're coming back to the point again that technically the country is on the 24-hour lockdown with
there's
certain provisions.
When I accept curfews, and when it, to me, when they had lockdown, I mean, it refers to me more during the daytime activity than at night. Because I'm at home at night anyhow. Right. So it's not a big thing to me. But is it, most people are at home at some point during the night. So you're curtailing the activity. But during the day where people are free to run about and lime and drink and socialize, etc., they're trying to clamp down on that behavior in order to control the virus. And don't forget, we're fighting two viruses now, you know. And a variant, a brother and sister, or mother and father, something like that. Right.
I agree with all that you just said, see? But there's something I want to say. I think it's time enough that any leader of a country, I don't care who he or she is, where they're making certain specific statements to the masses of the country or the citizens of the country, they should come with a prepared document that it is precise and clear and that there's no confusion after that. What is happening in Barbados right now is that Barbados and people are really confused. And even me, you know, confusing again, no. Because we're talking about the curfew and then we're talking about specific reasons to be on the streets. So if my sister is not well and I have to go down by my sister in the day when there's no lockdown and the police stop me, why should he be asking me what I'm doing on the streets because there's not 7 to 6? I'm not saying that might happen or because he could stop me for any reason. But the point I'm saying, or she could stop me for any reason because they're female police. But the question I'm asking, I am convinced from talking to people that a lot of people do not understand what really is this lockdown, this pause, or this curfew of Barbados. They do not have it right. And I think that it's time enough that someone from the government come and explain it properly to the people. For instance, I can leave here and go up by my office. I know that they can't work, that the workers can't work and things. But you don't tell me that if I leave here to go to my office between six and seven, that a police can stop me and ask me what I'm doing on the streets? Unless
he can.
A police could stop you for any reason. I know that.
Right.
But can it be normal for a police to stop me and ask me what I'm doing on the streets? Within the times that there's no lockdown, so to speak. Is it not time enough that this thing is explained more clearly to the people?
Muhammad, I would have thought that when the Attorney General spoke about it, he sort of make it clear. And also the contents have also been published in the paper. There's a directive published that gives you the details of the do's and the don'ts.
All of that is true.
But maybe you're saying that you need to have a clear, more simplified way of explaining these things to people.
Correct, because the people of Barbados do not understand. Don't get me wrong. The people in Barbados, as intelligent are confused over the way things are put to them. And we have to find a way, the leaders of the country must find a way to put it as simple as humanly possible to the people. But many people get 4 or 5 different directives. So I might hear tonight what the minister say. But tomorrow night, something else come on, but I did not hear. So most people will pay more attention to the first. Every prime minister come by Barbados to say something about something now. The whole country will be listening to hear what she has to say. But if tomorrow again she come and relate to the same subject, I guarantee you that 50% of people or more will not be listening. Because they have to be they have to come with a prepared document, tell the masses, call the masses, respect the leaders. Tell the masses what the position is, and that must be cleared, and there should be no division based on different people speaking. That is my opinion about that.
Thanks. Something else I said. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. I'm sure the new communications team, which I believe monitors these programs. I know they monitor these programs on Facebook and social media. Maybe there's something they can take into consideration for their further activities.
But I want to say something else, Glenn. You see, the workers that are going on for 2 weeks, the government should have made a clear statement that management must pay them or that the government can pay them. All these things must be cleared. You know, we are saying things that are leaving people in limbo. They're not sure what the position is. Now, there are people who would like management to pay them, and then they also get the green card, the green paper, and send them to for the 2 weeks. And some didn't do that, by the way. So what I'm saying, I believe that don't care how bright you are, how articulate you are with words and so, whatever break me or whatever articulate me, you must be precise in your statements before any doubt that you have a confusion amongst your people in the country. So we got to ask the question. Some companies are poor and can't afford to pay nobody for 2 weeks and have no work going on. Some can't afford it. And those who can afford it, I am sure should pay, and they will, most likely. But the ones who cannot afford it cannot be treated the same way as those who can afford it. So the government going to make a decision.
Mohammed, I think you're making a good point. I think what you're saying, there needs to be coordination between when the official making the statement and the ministry.
Right.
If there's something involving people,
right,
that is something that the Ministry of Labor should take up and put out a briefing to the public, exactly what it means to them. And don't just lead for them. But there have been calls that the Ministry of Labor has been very silent, and you're not hearing the involvement and the articulation from the Minister of Labor that you should be getting in this crisis where people's livelihoods and lives and jobs, etc., are concerned. And therefore, what you're saying, that when that statement was made, there should have been some coordination between the authors of the statement and say, well, listen, Ministry of Education, this is for you, Labor is for you, and then they should jump into action to have an early and clear indication of it as soon as possible.
That is fair. And that's where it should be. All I am saying is that if the government say we are closing this country down for 2 weeks, but the businesses will pay the workers for the 2 weeks, then that is that. Done with that. No more debate. But you just cannot say you're closing it down for the 2 weeks. Workers like the lady that not long ago talking to you want to know where she can get money from, and other people who are struggling to get money, and the business that they're working with, struggling to do a job every week to pay them off the job they get. So it is a complication. Now, at the same time, there are workers who would get paid and still want the green paper. So that for the 2 weeks, so they get paid twice. They get paid from the company, and they also submit the green paper. If the manager got sense, he will not sign it. But sometimes you don't ever think about these things. All I am saying is that we have to, when we are making specific directives to the people of Barbados, it must be clear. That is all I am saying. And finally, you see this eating thing? I am telling you, Glenn, I know that you know a little bit about this anyway. I have been eating once a day for donkey years. Lately, I eat a little more once a day, but the amount of food I eat can't even add to a proper, a good meal, what some boy call a good meal. Because nobody we call a good meal, enough food, not the quality of the food. If you get enough food, that's a good meal. So I want people to understand that they really can train themselves down to eat once a day, or even if they can eat twice a day. But the average Barbadian eats like 10 times and 15 times a day. So if they're getting sick, because they're overeating, and their system cannot digest the food or the intake in a proper way, and they got all kind of problems. So all I'm saying, I'm not telling people not to eat well. Whatever, I hear you answer later about well eating. God, that's another interesting thing. What is good eating? But I know this, that if people cut the intake and they will not be hungry, you know, after about 3 or 4 weeks, you'll discover that you won't eat for a whole day. Like, some days I don't eat for a whole day. It don't bother me because we are trained to do that.
Would you agree that they should do that? They should modify the diet with the advice from a doctor or a dietitian or nutritionist, that so that they do not go overboard one way or the other, it has long-term damaging effects to the health.
I agree. I would not say a doctor, though. I say a dietitian.
Okay.
Because I think a dietitian would be more of fear than a doctor. A doctor can get sick, he will or she will come and tell you how to get well. But a dietitian should be able to advise anybody what is the amount that she eat per day, basically. You know, they're going to drift sometimes, Glenn. We're only human beings. You don't have a cat but you, and I see food there, I can eat it. But that don't mean nothing, because that ain't gonna happen again for a long time. I can come out there another time, and they give me the party, so they're
All right.
They have to, the lady was right, you know, they have to adjust their eating habits. Barbadian people definitely eat too much. And you know, as you're eating over eating, you're wasting money. I want you to link the two of them together. As you're overeating, right, you're wasting money. But anyhow, Glenn, thank I you. Just wanted to pass those few things.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, good man.
All right. Good hearing from you. This is Brassox. Come in, please.
How are you?
I am good. Yourself, ma'am?
Okay.
What is this? Sorry.
That's right. That's okay.
I'm sorry. Your voice was very low. Yeah, I know it is. I don't want to feel that I'm trying to say something about you.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
You know?
It's okay, though.
Good to hear you, man.
Yeah, good to hear you as well.
What nuggets do you have for us today?
I don't have any nuggets. I don't have any nuggets. I have the contribution to make.
A golden contribution.
Hello?
I hope it's a golden contribution.
Okay.
And then God, before you leave, you might be to ask you a question, all right? But you go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Couple of Sundays ago, on Sunday Brass Tacks, and Mr. David Ellis were the co-moderators. When you had Ms. Toni Moore as your guest.
Right.
On that day, you all tried to ask Ms. Toni Moore about her achievement.
No, the trade or question was asked. Was it asked or not?
Well, you could decide any.
No. You are the man. From what I recall, that statement was posted. It wasn't Triton. You got interrupted, or you couldn't remember. The question was asked. So a question was asked about her achievement.
Yes. Okay. Let's agree on that.
We agree on that. Good.
Let's agree on that. Now, good. I would say that probably I call, I get cut out. I held on for the rest of the program. Never got back in. I was in some position to help her because I've done my research on it, okay?
You have to help her?
Hello?
To help her?
To help remind her because sometimes people put it back to you. You might not
be from what prepared. I recall, from before you go on, from what I recall, she spoke at length, volubly.
But she
never once gave any indication of being under duress or stress and need any help.
Okay, but yeah, let's move on from there. Because I really don't want to waste my time picking over this, though. I will say to you, Miss Toni Moore, has achieved about over 15 or 16 accomplishments since she was the general secretary, about 18 or so, right? And yeah. I would just like to say that the first out of the ball is
you're breaking up. If you're moving your phone, you're breaking up, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead. Clear.
Get equal pay for the G4 shirt
you really want? What would the back pay?
Hello.
What about the back pay that they did not even get?
Can I please make my point? So you got something to ask? Can you please allow me to flow
and then go ahead, sir.
Good time.
Go ahead, sir.
Right.
But you know, as an ice cream, when you say a long hop, it's hard to resist it. You know.
Can you allow me to make my comments, please?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Right. She got equal pay to G4 stewards as a security officer. She got the assurance of a national minimum wage as of the 1st of April 2020. A 5% salary increase across the board for public sector workers. The first time in 9 years.
I see, I don't mean to interrupt, but it seemed to me that you made the same presentation on the radio not so long ago to somebody.
No, I didn't. I didn't call you. I didn't. Right? You don't let me talk, man. Why don't you let me talk, everybody else to talk?
God, man, no, it's just I don't want you to repeat what you said before, but this is very familiar.
I repeat a single thing because I did not get in that day. Do I repeat?
But on another call, I heard you start. Ali started.
No, I did not.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Let's go. Let's stop. Go ahead.
Right. You had the NCC and pass, which the government refused. The then government, the Prom government referred it to the tribunal, right? And she got a settlement there as well. You had industrial action at the central bank. She brought it to a conclusion there as well. She get raised increased settlement at CBC, raised increased settlement at the BWA, raised increased settlement at the BHTA after about 3 or 4 years. The general sector made a value and put into the hotel industry best program. She also made an input into the government boss program. Do you want me to still go on?
You have made my head fill. But I was going to ask you a question. Can I ask a question, please?
Yes.
Is it some of the things you mentioned there? Mm. Achieving an increase is routine.
No,
achieving negotiated for sale is routine. That is a regular part of that could be done when there was a. Can I let me have my say now? That could be done whether a general secretary or not, because you have a contract for 2 years. Towards the end, you renegotiate again. So that is not a major accomplishment. That is a routine thing for the Barbados Workers Union. I don't think you call.
But it's an accomplishment, though.
And routine.
Nevertheless, it's an accomplishment. You know, talk about major and minor, but it's an accomplishment.
I hope we don't feel that she's so wanting of accomplishment. You're scratching around trying to find little things.
I'm not scratching around.
You come back and embarrass her.
I'm not scratching around. I'm giving. If you'd have allowed me, I would have done call out you ladies. Accomplishment.
But, how much longer do you have to go?
All the callers you're allowed to speak. All the other callers you're allowed to speak. You allow one caller to
go ahead.
Contribution.
I know you're going to do this.
I know you're going to do it. But let me forget about making contributions, right?
Let me say it to you, right?
I put that one side. I want to tell you this in particularly. Now, I remember I was surprised you came in on the program. Because you came in, you tell me sometime by rehashing, you came in with some report that she dealt you correct. She disarmed you and Mr. Ellis on that day.
Disarmed you?
She correct both of you all. You came in and touting some report that you had that was drawn. It was for the I think the executive of the Barbados Workers Union, she said to you, I am not discussing. How did you get that? That's a legal report you have. It's supposed to be executive counsel. And you know, you was done for the day. You was done for
but
that
because,
whole day.
Because, can
you
I say something now?
Can you have nothing to say? You talk
can I say something now where that is concerned?
Mm.
I did not want, I think that report had taken enough time. The rest of the program could have been devoted to that report. Mark, can I speak, please? Could you give me the same allowance that I eventually gave you, please? All right? Because I did not go even near some of the touchy, controversial things that could have been made her uncomfortable. That report was not next to then. I still have the report. And at some future time, I will deal with the report. It doesn't matter how I got it. Did she deny the existence of the report?
No, she didn't. But she said it's not for you.
All right, before you go.
No. Can I just let me finish up, please?
We have to go now.
Can I finish up like the others?
Yeah, finish up quickly because you have to go on a commercial break.
Yeah, good. No, you were disarmed, so you couldn't raise it because you tried.
Ma, you can't read my mind. You can't know what I was or not. Go on. I thought you're done with that. All right. Next time, we'll pick up that next thing. Hopefully not, but if you're entertained. This is Brass Tacks. Remember, our telephone number is 434-1790. You can get us on WhatsApp at 266-462. Before we go to the next call, I think this is an opportune time to raise a matter, and it relates to the public safety announcement we just heard about, distance from primary, secondary, and tertiary sources, contacts regarding the COVID virus. I'd like to commend the authorities for a long last time to break out these things in bite-sized pieces and breaking down the jargon and translating them into manageable language and making it easier for people to follow on a day-by-day basis. I remember this is something that some of us were calling from about a year ago when you were talking about social distancing, and you said that, you know, that had to be translated and retranslated and whatnot. But I would therefore like to take the benefit of this development and deal with something else that I mentioned from way back. I said that we have to prepare for the fact when it got our cases that people would be discriminated against. Those who had it, who had been taken for testing, who had been quarantined, and so said, so done. And I based that observation on the experience I had with HIV/AIDS. When we set up the HIV/AIDS Commission, we started dealing with AIDS. We had to prepare some public service announcements, some billboards, some posters, to deal with all questions of discrimination, discouraging discrimination against HIV/AIDS people who had that affliction. So I think the same thing should also be done at an early stage, because already we are hearing people being avoided, being abused, being harassed, their family being pinpointed, being shouted out in public because they either were involved in some way with harassment point or Paragon or whatever, or they went, the hazmat people came to their house, and it's been embarrassing and uncomfortable. And as long as COVID is with us, this is probably going on and probably longer. So I'm saying some attention should be paid to devise some public service announcement that discourage people from being so cruel and vicious and insensitive to persons who by happenstance got something which could befall them or their family also. I think it's bad. It doesn't speak well of Barbados. And the same broad-mindedness that we seem to have evolved and fashioned towards HIV/AIDS, we need to have that broad-minded, that sensitive, broad-minded, sensible approach to persons who are people and agents and family just like us.